Boredom sets in first, and then despair. One tries to brush it off. It only grows. Something about the silence of the square. And from Richard Neutra's Survival Through Design, the fact that a man does not realize the harmfulness of a product or a design element in his surroundings does not mean that it is harmless. The headline to one of my early essays in architecture criticism, published in The American Prospect, was written by my editor, not by me. But when he sent along the galleys, it was clear he thought I'd pulled no punches. Boring buildings, the title thundered. In the subhead, I could almost hear my own plaintive voice wondering, why is American architecture so bad? Since that essay's appearance 15 years ago, our country's and our world's political, social, and economic landscapes have much changed. 9/11 ushered in a far more perilous and increasingly self-conscious era. The internet and digital technology changed how we communicate and how we shop, the nature of our right to privacy, and even our sense of ourselves. They also rapidly accelerated economic integration and made globalization an economic, social, and cultural reality. Even so, 20 years later, the indictment announced in that headline rings true, and not only in the United States. Four sorry places. In the places we live, beggary casts a wide net, as four very different kinds of settings exemplify. The shacks inhabited by many millions of people on every continent except Antarctica make the case that built environments lacking in any sort of considered design greatly contribute to the degradation of human life. If we consider such slum dwellings in relation to the developer-built single-family houses that hundreds of millions more call home, however, we see that lack of resources constitutes only one part of the problem. Then, if we examine both alongside the design of a resource-rich high school in New York City, it becomes clear that people's failure to accord their built environments sufficient priority plays an important role. And if we take all that information and synthesize it with what we can learn from an art pavilion in London designed by a Pritzker Prize-winning architect, Jean Nouvel, we see that even with ample resources, good intentions, and well-placed priorities, things go wrong. These four examples of built environmental beggary show how pervasively poor our built environments are and suggest the complex reasons why. They also belie what slum dwellings by themselves might suggest. Money, or lack of it, constitutes only a small part of the challenge. Slums are an example where resources truly are scarce. In Haiti, 1.5 million people lost their homes in the devastating 2010 earthquake, and many lived in the aftermath and continue to live in encampments of makeshift, temporary shelters. Among the thousands of heartbreaking images documenting the Haiti disaster was a photograph of a huddling row of shanties clutching to the median strip of Rue des Rails in Port-au-Prince, where entire families inhabit tarp-covered one-room shacks with dirt floors. Cars and trucks rumble and speed by. No electricity, no plumbing, no privacy, no quiet. No clean air to breathe, fresh water to drink. Just unlucky people trying to maintain their rectitude and dignity in a built environment that pulls them down every day. Although this photograph depicts people struggling to survive in the wake of a singularly catastrophic event, the circumstances in which they live are unusual in only two ways. Cars pass through this linear settlement very quickly, and fabric tarps cover their shacks instead of the usual corrugated metal, scraps of plastic, thatch, or rotting plywood or cardboard sheets. These Haitian shacks otherwise resemble their analogs, favelas in Brazil, bidonvilles in French-speaking countries such as Tunisia, townships in South Africa, shanty towns in Jamaica and Pakistan, campamentos in Chile, and to use the most generic name among the dozens of such appellations in usage, slums around the world. The names, the materials from which they're built, the destitution of shelter they provide, the degree of desperation within differs depending upon economy, culture, climate, and continent. But the basic living arrangements are the same. One, two, even three generations jammed together with their belongings in one or two insalubrious rooms that lack the basic infrastructure of power and sanitation. 30% of all South Asians, including 50-60% of the residents of India's two largest cities, Mumbai and Delhi, live in slums. Estimates of the population density of Mumbai's Dharavi slum range widely, from between 380,000 and 1.3 million people per square mile, 5 to 19 times that of Manhattan. 60% of sub-Saharan Africans inhabit slums. 4 million people dwell in the largest slum in the world, draped across the outskirts of Mexico City. All told, one out of every seven of the planet's people, totaling 1 billion, and one-third of all urban dwellers call such places home. The Housing and Slum Upgrading Branch of UN Habitat predicts that by 2030, the number of people living in slums will more than double, as slums are the world's fastest-growing habitat.